Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
I think sometimes people think that God disapproves of sex. How ridiculous. God created sex.
Our culture has hijacked this gift God created. Pastor Greg Laurie says we need to get back to God's original plan.
It doesn't have to be a dirty word. It doesn't have to be a taboo subject. It's something that can be enjoyable, pleasurable, and listen to this, even blessed, but only in the boundaries and safety of a marriage relationship.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
Some people may think that taking God's advice on sex is like taking the principal's advice on how to have a fun day at school. Just a lot of don't you dares. But today, on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie reminds us that God created us and sex was His idea. We'll see that as we follow His guidelines, we'll find the fulfillment that we long for. It's part of an encouraging series on the family called Home Sweet Home.
The title of my message today is God's Plan for Sex in Marriage. How many of you are glad you came to church today? Okay, so yes, I use the word sex, and I'm going to talk about that. God has a lot to say about this subject, and I want you to grab your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. God takes us back to the very beginning. Verse 31, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. We'll stop there. You know, it's interesting, after Adam and Eve were married, the Bible says God called their name Adam. He saw them as one flesh, to become one. And so when you're married, you're you know, technically one flesh. But it's a lifetime now of discovering what that means. So first you leave and then you cleave. Now what does the word cleave mean? Well, it doesn't mean to divide, as in a meat cleaver. It actually means to bring together. It suggests a determined action. There's nothing passive about the act of cleaving. It's like climbing a mountain. You're hanging on. I see these people who go and scale the sides of mountains, and they have their little tools and their little hammers and nails and lines that they hang. And I can't believe what these people do. You know, they get up there and they reach up and they ding, 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 ding. And then they put in a little, put the rope to, and they'll swing. That's insane to me. But that's what marriage should look like. You're holding on. You're clinging to each other. It doesn't mean you're stuck together. It means you're sticking together. You ever work with super glue? I've had some bad experiences with it, actually. I was always a bad model builder when I was a kid, but I loved models. I think it was because I was impatient, you know, because I wouldn't wait for the glue to dry, and then I would want to paint it before it was ready and all that. But then super glue came along, and, you know, the first time I pulled it out, I thought, wow, it's like there's nothing really even there. It's almost like it's invisible. And so I did something they told me not to do. Don't put it on both your fingers. And I glued my thumb to my finger like this. And so people thought I was saying okay for about a month. So it's not being stuck. It's holding on to each other. And one of the ways that we express that love, one of the ways that we demonstrate that love, is through the sexual union. You know, I think sometimes people think that God disapproves of sex. How ridiculous. God created sex. And clearly in the Bible, we can see that He gave it to us to be fruitful and multiply. So yes, it's for procreation. Yes, it's for bringing children into the world. But God didn't say you couldn't have some fun while you're doing it. And you can have fun in sex. It doesn't have to be a dirty word. It doesn't have to be a taboo subject. It's something that can be enjoyable, pleasurable, and listen to this, even blessed, but only in the boundaries and safety of a marriage relationship. That's the only place God will bless it. Outside of marriage, actually, sex can be an extremely destructive thing. It's sort of like dark, rich soil. It's beautiful in the garden, not so nice if you bring it in on your white carpet in the house. So we need to keep sex in its proper place. But casual sexual encounters are made to look harmless and fun in sitcoms and in music today. It's celebrated about all these things that people are going to do to each other. And you know, you think of the impact it's had on our culture. Think of how different our world would be if we just obeyed one of the Ten Commandments, just one, thou shalt not commit adultery. That means that families would be together. So many families are broken up because of adultery. And then there are people that have premarital sex that never get married, so the child is conceived out of wedlock. I was conceived out of wedlock, by the way. So I know a little bit about this. I know what it's like to never have a stable father figure in my life. I know what it's like to make a lot of bad choices and face the consequences for them. That was my trajectory until Jesus Christ came and turned my life around. But so many kids today haven't heard about Jesus Christ. There's no dad. There's never been a dad. Mom just got pregnant. And maybe it even happened two or three times. So they, you know, here's, or maybe it's even different dads, if you want to call them dads. Though they're really not much of a father in my book. So you have a bunch of kids that are stepbrothers to each other, stepsisters and so forth. And then you have this kind of lifestyle that's being lived. And you could take almost every social ill in America today and specifically break it down to the breakdown of the family and to the absence of fathers. 63% of teenagers who attempt suicide live in fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts are from fatherless homes. 90% of all runaways and homeless children are from fatherless homes. 85% of all youth sitting in prison grew up in a fatherless home. Fatherless sons are 300% more likely to be incarcerated in state juvenile institutions. Oh my, if we would just do what God said. And we would just get back to what he tells us about a husband and a wife and a father and a mother. It would change our country. But we say, oh, well, no, God doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, I want to go out there and I want to have fun and I want to have sex with whoever I want to have sex with. And besides, what's the problem as long as they're consenting adults? Why has God even laid down a law like this? And doesn't he know we have raging hormones? God laid those laws down for your own good. Sort of like traffic laws. You know, when you're backed up for 2 miles in traffic, and then you see the ongoing lane and the other direction is empty, it can be tempting sometimes to leave your lane. Sort of like the way they drive in Italy. Last time I was there, I had an afternoon off and I rented a Vespa scooter. And so I said, come on, Kathy, let's just ride around in Rome. And she wasn't real excited about this idea, but I was. I ran a motorcycle too, so I felt pretty confident in commandeering a little scooter. And so we got on it, but I realized people in Rome, Italy drive differently than we do here in the United States. They see lights as, I guess, a suggestion. I'm not even sure. They go around, they go into oncoming traffic. It's crazy. So there's so many scooters there that they're like little swarms of bees that just kind of go through those lanes and they go into the oncoming lane and come around the front. At first I thought, this is crazy. This is insane. This is fun. I like this. Kathy's terrified, but she was holding on very tightly, so it was good. You know, but see, that's a crazy way to have a road system. We need order. We need structure. People get killed when you live that way. And the same is true of marriage. If we would just obey what God says in his word. Well, come on now, Craig. Does it really hurt anyone? Yeah, it hurts a lot of people. What about innocent babies killed through abortion? What about that? That alone is mind-blowing. How many millions of children have been eliminated? Who knows, out of all those millions of children that have been aborted, if we would have not had the next doctor who would have found the cure for cancer. If we would have not have had the next who knows, great preacher to reach our country, whatever. But all those lives needlessly thrown away. And then doesn't hurt anybody. What about the mother that contends with the abortion years later? Sometimes the pain of the abortion doesn't fully sink in until that young girl who may have got it in her teens now realizes what she did. And as the years pass by and she sees other little children who would have been the age of her child if she had brought the little one to term, she realizes the significance of what she's done. What about that? What about venereal disease? What about the AIDS virus? Yeah, it does hurt people. God has laid these laws down for our own good. So we want to pay careful attention to them, because God will bless this as you come together in His perfect plan.
You're listening to A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie, and we're talking about the sexual aspect of marriage relationships today. And recently, Pastor Greg was part of a panel discussion on the subject alongside several of his associate pastors at his home church. It's a frank discussion, and parents, if there are younger ears listening, you might want to consider another activity for them for just a few minutes.
Sex outside of marriage is destructive. So there's somebody listening right now, they're saying, well, actually, I think sex outside of marriage is a lot of fun. And they're enjoying themselves. And you know, the Bible even says that there can be pleasure in sin for a time. We're not denying that fact. But there's repercussions. People don't think about the long term. Why don't we talk just for a moment? How can sex, or why is sex outside of marriage destructive? What do you think, Jason?
Well, I think obviously it's a direct disobedience to God.
Yeah.
I mean, God designed it, and so He said you shouldn't.
Right.
And so you're separating yourself from God. It's just sin before God, and this is what God says about it. It's a sin, and it's wrong. Now, on top of all of that, you're reaping what you sow here. You are going to get, as I mentioned,
yeah,
you know, thoughts, and you might even reap repercussions as, let's just say, a pregnancy or an STD.
Yeah.
But even more than that, I think, is just your relationship with God, you
yeah
know, really becomes, I'd say, in jeopardy because of your decisions here in sex outside of marriage.
Yeah. What do you think, Jared?
Yeah. As we talk about this discussion of sex and sexuality, I think the reality is that there's a lot of things in life that the world's going to tempt you to do. They're going to make you think that it's okay to do certain things because it's accepted in society. But what we have to understand is, you know, we were never called to live like the world in the first place.
Yeah.
Romans 12:2 says this, that we're supposed to live a life that's contrary to that of the world. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed yeah by the renewing of your mind.
True.
So what you have to understand is that just because you have a feeling to do something, or just because someone else is doing something, you're called as a believer in Jesus to stand tall and stand against what the world is telling us to do. And I think that is the best reflection of Jesus that we could ever show to this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, sin can almost be compared to being drunk. Drunk people don't always know they're drunk. They think they're funny. They think they're cool. They think they're in control, and they're out of control. When you come under the power of sin, it's amazing how stupid you can be. So, you know, sin makes you stupid. And so if someone's listening right now, and they're like having sex, and they've somehow rationalized, this is outside of marriage, of course, and they've somehow rationalized it and said, no, I think in my case, it's all right. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, it's cool, my child, have fun, or something like that. Okay, first of all, that wasn't God, because God will never contradict His word. But if you've gotten into a state where you have managed to rationalize it and you feel okay about it, that's actually an indication you are under the power of sin and you're not thinking clearly.
Yeah.
So that's why when we come back to scripture, it sort of realigns us. Like, oh, right, this is what is true. Because our emotions and culture and so many things are, well, they're at war with the word of God is the reality. What do you think, Jonathan?
Absolutely. It is so easy to feel like, oh, well, I'm a special case. God made yeah a special exception for me. I can have sex with my girlfriend, or, hey, I'm viewing pornography. And so it's not the same as
right
going out and sleeping with different girls. This is okay
yeah
with God. This is special. Listen, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. This is the word of God. This is what the Bible says, and that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times people will say, I need to know the will of God. What's his will? Hey, let's start with the no-brainers. The Bible actually has some things very clear. It's very clear in certain topics, like this is the will of God, and this is one of them there in Thessalonians. This is the will of God, so abstain from these things.
This is a question from somebody. I'm going to read it exactly the way that they wrote it, so bear with me. It says, being in society and having had worldly sex, how do I now come back from society's perversion of sex and engage into what God has made sex to be?
You know, David fell into adultery with Bathsheba. And after he was confronted, he lived in sin for quite a long time. He was confronted by the prophet Nathan, and he finally repented. And after that, he wrote Psalm 51. And among other things, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and then sinners will be converted to you. So really what David is saying is, Lord, I blew it. Give me a new heart, change me, help me. And so it's an acknowledgement of that. And I do think that once there's been a breakdown in one of these areas, it's easier to fall in that area again. So you have to be very careful. You can almost liken it maybe to, you broke your arm once and maybe there's a vulnerability there. Maybe a little more vulnerability than if you had never broken your arm before. Having said that, that doesn't mean that now you're going to fall into whatever, because God will never give you more than you can handle. And sometimes when we say, well, there's no way I could resist it, well, it's because you put yourself in a situation that was insane. You know, like, oh yeah, I booked this hotel room with this girl and I'm not married to, and we're laying down on the bed and talking. And then we kind of got tempted. Yeah, you're an idiot. Okay. What are you talking about? So of course you fell into sin doing something like that. So sometimes the best way to get out of a sinful situation is literally walk out the door. Not pray for the strength to resist it, but literally say, I'm walking out. I'm hitting the off button. I'm terminating the phone conversation. I'm gonna block you. We're not gonna talk anymore via text or whatever it is, but put a stop to it. And, you know, so you have to take a practical step, and then you need to pray and fill your mind and heart with the word of God so you don't get into that situation again.
Yeah, someone recently just texted and said, what if our future husband is not a good sex partner? Should we explore first? My response to you is, how are you supposed to know if your future husband is a good sex partner if you are abstaining from sex? So then when you and your husband come together in the marriage bed, then it is a journey that you two get to go on together instead of automatically judging that person because you wanted to explore and have a different sex life than your future husband or wife did. So the response to that question is, listen, if you're already thinking about wanting to explore sexually so that you can be a better a better partner in sex, your mindset for what marriage is all about is off in the first place. You don't get married so you can have sex. Sex is a byproduct of two people who love Jesus coming together and are married in a holy union.
Amen. Amen, Jared.
Very good, Jared. That's right. Yeah, and you know, let me add to that. That's a way to sabotage your marriage. Studies have been done that show that people who live together before marriage actually have far higher divorce rates than people that don't. So you think, oh yeah, we're practicing, we're, you know, checking it out. No, actually what you're doing, you're sabotaging. That's what you're doing. And you know, sex is a wonderful part of marriage, but that's not what marriage is all about. And there's a lot more to it. It's really for, you know, as time passes, and we've been married well over 40 years, Kathy and I, you know, we come to value each other so much as not, you know, husband and wife, yes, but as just friends, the closest friends too, and partners in every way. And it's so wonderful, I must say, as we look back in our life and we have memories going back decades. Remember this time? Remember that? And watching our children grow, watching our grandchildren grow, all of this blessedness that comes from honoring the word of God.
Pastor Greg Laurie speaking with his associate pastors, Jason Powell, Jared Wilson, and Jonathan Laurie, about God's plan for sex within marriage, an important edition of A New Beginning Today. Well, on Monday, Pastor Greg has some more counsel from his message, God's Plan for Sex and Marriage. Some good insights on helping our marriages to go the distance next time on A New Beginning. Now, for a copy of Pastor Greg's full message from today, get in touch with Vision Christian Store. It was called God's Plan for Sex and Marriage. Just go to visionstore.org.au or call 1-800-00-50-11. Station sponsor.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.